This is Citizens Council Forum, America's number one public affairs program, where prominent Americans report to the nation on important issues. This week, the series of discussions is presented coast to coast by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, with the cooperation of public-spirited broadcasters who share our belief that Americans must be informed to remain free. Now, here is the producer of Citizens Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Citizens Council Forum. This is another in a series of special programs coming to you from San Diego, California. And we're very happy to welcome as our guest on today's program, Assemblyman E. Richard Barnes. Mr. Barnes represents a district in the city of San Diego in the California State Assembly. He's a retired Navy chaplain, retiring with the rank of captain, spent nearly 20 years on active duty in the Navy, saw combat in the South Pacific and in the Korean campaign. Chaplain Barnes is a Methodist minister. He's former director of the San Diego Christian Anti-Communist Crusade. Captain Barnes, it's a real pleasure to have you on the program today.
Well, Dick, it's a real pleasure to have the opportunity to visit with you and your listeners.
Captain Barnes, I know that you have been interested for a long time in the problem of communism and its growing influence throughout the world, and particularly the threat posed to this country. For example, your last active duty assignment on the staff of the Commandant of the 11th Naval District in New Orleans, you assisted Admiral Schindler there in setting up the program of anti-communist education called Project Alert. Is that not correct?
Yes, this was a tremendous project started by Admiral Schindler, and it was very successful. Later it was picked up by Navy League of America and became their national project for the whole country.
California has seen a good deal of communist and left-wing agitation. Probably one of the most spectacular episodes occurred during the hearings a few years ago in San Francisco of the House Committee on Un-American Activities, the hearings which were actually disrupted by a communist-led demonstration. More recently, we've seen student riots at the University of California. You're a member of the Education Committee of the Assembly. Is there any evidence that you've found of communist or pro-communist instigation of these student riots?
We're not sure, Dick, as to whether they instigated the riots or not. They very well may have. We are aware of the communist tactic of moving in on an explosive situation and beginning to agitate and ride this explosive situation to the goal of more disruption, more illegality, more violence, and thus disrupt the country. We know that. Now, we do know that there have been a number of named communists, that is, self-admitted communists, who have been, one way or another, entered into the picture of the Berkeley riots.
Most Americans are at least vaguely aware of the fact that for the past number of years, so-called students have rioted in various Latin American countries, in nations in Asia, and even in Europe. But this is somewhat a new phenomenon in our own nation. Do you believe that it follows some worldwide pattern?
I don't think there's any doubt about it, Dick. We know it does. We know that they have planned this strategy and these tactics as part of their operation for world control of population. For instance, all we have to do is remember the riots in Ankara, or the riots in Caracas, or the riots in Tokyo, which kept President Eisenhower from going to Tokyo. Then the riots, as you've mentioned, in San Francisco in connection with the House Committee investigation. And you see these riots now this summer in various American cities, tremendous explosions of violence. I have no doubt in my mind at all that the communist subversive cadre, the hardcore operator, is there in the picture somewhere.
In the summer riots, Captain Barnes, are you referring to the race riots in Harlem and in Rochester and in the Chicago suburb?
Yes, I particularly had those in mind. For instance, in Rochester, here's a city that I'm well acquainted with. I serve Methodist churches in upstate New York. And here's a marvelous city. Now, what earthly reason could there be for this destruction of property? Now, the communists in their agitation strategy are not interested in finding solutions. They get in on an explosive situation, and the solution is something they don't want. What they do want is more trouble, more lawlessness, more rioting. And they have specifically stated that one of the things they hope to do is to ride this racist problem into complete breakdown of law and order in the United States.
One thing that I have observed, both from what I have seen firsthand and from just watching TV news film of these so-called student uprisings in various parts of the world and the rioting in this country as well, and that is the presence of a large number of erstwhile students who appear to be in their 30s and perhaps even in their 40s, and who obviously are not students of anything other than of how to get by without working for a living.
I'm very sure that we have these hardcore cadres, not known as such, but going under the guise of students who matriculate in a university, and they are there for agitational purposes, not to learn, not in the pursuit of knowledge. They are there to create disturbances in the university. We've seen that in the recent Berkeley riots. We have people there who were not students involved in that riot when Governor Brown ordered the arrest of these people who were occupying government property, state property. It was said in the newspaper that 17% of those arrested were not students. They were not matriculated there as students.
Many of us in other parts of the country have read and seen and heard something about the University of California situation at Berkeley, but most of us aren't too well acquainted with the facts. Just how serious is and was that situation?
Well, I believe, Dick, that it is far more serious than most people realize. Now, one of the objections of the authorities at the university is the objection to enlisting and soliciting on the campus from the students for illegal rioting or picketing or occupation of buildings in the city or in the Bay Area. And I think they're perfectly justified in saying that you can't come on a state university campus and solicit or advocate, as they like to call it, to enlist people to go off the campus for illegal and violent lawbreaking.
Well, Captain Barnes, as a minister, this question may put you on the spot, but I hope you'll forgive me if it does. I'm interested in this whole situation pertaining to our American educational process. My question is this process in some danger of being subverted? For example, early during the summer of 1964, we saw the establishment at an accredited institution of higher learning in Oxford, Ohio, Western College for Women, of a training session underwritten and sponsored and under the auspices of the National Council of Churches for the sole purpose of training people from all over the country to come into the South and specifically into Mississippi to break the laws and try to create racial tensions. Now, is this a normal and recognized part of the American educational process today?
Well, Dick, of course, from my point of view, this type of activity, and we could name others and name them by name, prominent churchmen who have advocated engaging in the marching and the rioting in violation of state or local laws. Now imagine a clergyman advocating the violating of a local law. Now where in the world are we getting to? I mean, you have in America or in any civilized society, you have four basic factors required for a law-abiding civilized community, namely laws, courts, policemen, backed by public opinion. Now here you have some of the leading public opinion molders advocating the violence and breaking of laws. Now this can only lead to disaster. I believe that if they wish to change the laws, they should follow the normal civil process. But when you have educators or a clergyman short-cutting the civil process, you have an explosive situation where you could end up in chaos.
But instead of advocating a solution through the electoral process, we find many of these so-called liberals objecting violently whenever the people are given an opportunity to vote on something. I'm referring specifically to your Proposition 14 campaign that was held in California last November, where the people gave 2-1 approval to a constitutional amendment preserving residential property rights. Weren't many of the so-called liberals objecting violently to the fact that the people were even allowed to vote on this?
Yes, Dick. This whole thing was a caricature, a violent twisting of the American concept of a free society. And I'm thankful that the people did voluntarily sign the petition, qualify the proposition for the ballot, and then when they had the chance to vote, as you say, they voted more than 2-1, supporting the basic concept, which I stated publicly, was this: you cannot sever human rights and property rights. Human rights and property rights, Dick, are inseparable. If you try to split them, you're going to damage both of those basic human rights, not only for majorities, but for minorities.
I'm wondering if you've had an opportunity to form any judgments as to the role of the communists in this wave of racial agitation which has swept across the nation during the past few years.
Yes, they have definitely engaged since 1928 in a promotion of agitating this racial problem and trying to use the Negro population. And I'm thankful that most Negroes have not fallen for this bait, but some have.
Chaplain Barnes, you have traveled widely. You have been active in many parts of our nation. Do you see any growing recognition among Americans that there is, in fact, a community of interest between people of like views, regardless of where in the nation they happen to live?
This is one of the hopeful aspects, Dick, of the present situation. We are recognizing that our basic commitments to fundamental principles, such as constitutional free self-government, such as the free enterprise system, such as fiscal responsibility, such as a recognition of the conflict between freedom and communist tyranny, these bind us more closely together than any other of these political affiliations. And I find that there are members in the Democratic Party who see eye to eye with me, and they seem to agree that I, being a Republican, represent the type of point of view that they have come to believe in. And I believe that there would be some hope in this type of people getting together and working for the survival of freedom.
Captain Barnes, thank you very much for being with us today. Our guest on today's edition of Citizens Council Forum has been Assemblyman E. Richard Barnes, representing the City of San Diego District in the California State Assembly. Captain Barnes being a retired Navy chaplain with 20 years of service and a Methodist minister. This special program has come to you from San Diego, California. Join us again next week when we'll be back with another program in your Citizens Council Forum series. Till then, Dick Morphew speaking coast to coast, saying thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
Citizens Council Forum is dedicated to the preservation of our American tradition of freedom. If you agree that individual liberty and constitutional government must be preserved, if you want to do something positive and worthwhile to help protect our freedom, then we want to hear from you. Just write to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We'll be happy to send you, without obligation, literature showing how you can help. Address your card or letter to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. America's number one public affairs series is presented coast to coast each week by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, assisted by a grant from the Mississippi State Sovereignty Commission, an official agency of the state of Mississippi. Join us next week for another informative discussion and remind your friends to tune in. It's time to take a stand. By working together, we can and will safeguard our freedom.